I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things and we like self-care
for yourself. So what did you do this week for self-care? What did I do? Oh, so I called out of work because I only got like 3 hours of sleep. Because
you, I mean this in the nicest way, I love you, but you would be useless right now.
Well,
you,
like, it's just yeah. Like, I can't, like,
no.
And why, you know, like, sometimes you just got to be like
mental health day. Yeah.
But yeah, the insomnia is real, and I was just like, you know what, I don't need to like force myself to go to work. Like, nothing is like on fire.
It's the beginning of the year, you're fine.
Yeah. So I like stayed home and got a little bit of sleep, like some cat naps in.
I mean, by the time this comes out, you're gonna have a baby, but like, yeah, you're pregnant right now, so that's weird to think about.
Yeah, this is like the home stretch, like yeah. three more weeks of pregnancy. It's really hard and I hate it. I have like a long list of complaints, but I won't bore you with them.
I'll listen if you need someone to listen. And I'll nod my head and be like, oh, man.
Oh, man, that sucks. Oh, wow.
Give her the old Keith.
Yeah. So I just kind of, like, allowed myself to have a day where I stayed home and good didn't for you. Do shit.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I finished Paris Hilton.
How'd you like it?
I loved it. I always really liked her, but she, like,
she went through some shit.
Well, I feel bad. Like, the whole prison sentence thing, I just think it's funny. People are like, oh, the little heiress. And she's like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
She's like, this, all is, right. This is a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt really bad for her. But I think she was way more self-aware than people even realize. For like, sure. She knew the baby voice worked. And oh, yeah. I love her, though. Yeah. So.
I watched, I think it was on Netflix. There's a documentary about the programs, the outdoor programs.
Yeah, now I want to get into that because I remember you messaged it to me and I like listened. But now I like, because I know more about it after reading her book.
I just find it so fascinating that these things are still happening. That many, many children have died and this guy was just profiting off of their abuse and neglect. And
people were able to use their insurance for this. Like,
yeah.
It was crazy.
And some people weren't, and they're paying, like, thousands and thousands of dollars out of pocket to put their child with someone who they think is reforming them and is, in fact, abusing the shit out of them.
Like, when they were doing the raps?
Yeah.
Were you just, like, us? I don't know.
Who was that cult leader? There's a cult leader. It was, like, the same exact thing. Where it's like you all go into a room and basically rip on each other to the point of like a breakdown.
I think that's common with cults though. Yeah. Because they're trying to break you. So I think
it was like one specific guy. I can't remember his name. Who like.
Maybe you should cover him.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good
But
one.
It's like essentially the same concept of like break people down so far.
And every time she escaped, I was cheering for her.
I know, right?
I was reading it, and then the people came again, and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. It's crazy. She has a really crazy story.
Yeah. I mean, if you like Paris Hilton, read it. If you didn't like Paris, definitely read it.
This definitely puts a new perspective like, on I think, what she's been through.
Well, I think, like, because, like, I'll be honest, I used to make fun of her because everyone else did, and I, like, hate myself for that a little bit. But, like, I think the Me Too movement did a lot. Because, like, now I look back at stuff and I'm like, why were we so unkind to these people? Like, yeah. She didn't deserve unkindness. She was doing her own thing. She was so self-aware of what she was doing, so.
Well, and you think that, like, rich people like that just have everything handed to them, and their life must be so perfect because they're so rich, and what did they have to worry about? But then...
She acknowledges that she had... That she's very fortunate. Yeah, and she acknowledges that, and she, like, is like, I was a bad kid, but I didn't deserve that. And I was like, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But, so. Yeah, I read that book. It's great. I'll bring it next time.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
But, yeah, it was really good. So that was my self-care for this week, was realizing that it could be so much worse.
Right? Crazy. Yeah. What are you going to tell me about?
All right. Episode 80.
80!
80! I have 5280 tattooed on me, so I'm going to love this episode so much that I got it tattooed on me like 10 years ago. Because I knew it was going to be that good.
Oh.
I'm doing Chris Watts.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. Let me preface this. And I don't know how to say this delicately. Because this is... What I'm about to say is going to be fucked up.
Okay.
This is my favorite case. And I don't say favorite as in, like, I love this one. It's my favorite in the fact that, like, I don't get it. I don't...
Like, it's so hard to wrap your head around that it's, like, unfathomably horrible.
I would say out of all the cases, like, obviously true crime's always been an interest of mine, but this one is of particular interest because it is so heinous, I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
I guess.
There's no understanding it.
Yeah.
It's...
Like, I did this when we started the podcast, if you remember.
Yeah.
And you were like,
you can have it. I hate this story.
It's yours. It's a bad story, but I think it's something because it was so unexpected. It came from a place of, like, this didn't come from a place of where it was ramped up. It went from zero to 100.
And how can someone be so evil?
Yeah. And like, that's what I say. Like, when I say favorite, I don't mean favorite because it's great. I mean favorite as in, like, I just...
There's, like, a morbid fascination.
A morbid fascination of trying to just not even understand it, because, like, I will never understand it, but just how does it go? How does it get to this point?
Yeah.
Okay. So we like to cover cases that aren't as popular, and, like, I will admit this one is pretty popular, but this one I feel like is really important. I feel like.
Yeah, this is a very sensationalized story.
Yes.
I don't, like, if you don't know who Chris Watts is, then... Do you live under a rock?
I mean, I feel like in Colorado, though, it's a little extra.
Yeah, that's true, because we live in Colorado. Here.
Yeah. Because, like, think of how many people are like, oh, there's this case, it was popular, and I'm like, I've literally never heard of this. And they were, like, from that state. So I feel like it is more...
Or even around the world. Yeah. Like, there's a couple that I've done where I'm like, I've never heard of this, but it was, like,
insane.
Across the entire world, so of course I wouldn't hear about it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. So I do want to acknowledge, in episode 50, I did share... letters that were written to him, and that was like my buildup of like I'm eventually gonna cover this.
Oh,
and
when we covered the weird people who write to
killers. And I didn't want to cover this one at first because I knew there was gonna be we needed to grow a little bit before I covered this one. Okay, but episode 80, I decided why not,
and I'm gonna, a big hitter.
Yeah. All right, so Shanann Watts was born January 10th, 1984. That makes her a Capricorn, and she was born in New Jersey. In about 2003-2004, she had married a man named Leonard. But kind of makes you think of the Big Bang Theory.
No, I just like, that's such a nerd name.
Leonard.
Well, Leonard.
Big Bang Theory, they're nerds.
Yeah, they are. Super nerds.
So we don't know much about him. It's just kind of like, he's like, yeah, I was married to her.
Okay.
But if you can do the math. Okay.
Wait, what?
Hold on.
Don't make me do math, Kim.
I'm sorry. Well, you'll get what I'm saying. So they ended up divorcing in 2007, 2008. And if you're able to do math quickly, that means she got married at like 19, 20.
Oh.
Because 84, 2003.
Oh.
That's what I meant, like.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. I'm not like, okay.
So she was like a
blah,
baby
blah, blah,
child.
Find ex.
Got married.
Yeah. And in her own words, in a documentary, a lot of this, we're going to post our sources, but a lot of this comes from An American Murder. And it's from her, like, it's from the people's, like, mouth. So none of this is, like, you know, like, hearsay or anything. Like, it is from the people, like, videos and stuff. And she said that marriage took a lot from her, but she was also very young and was able to bounce back quickly. But she did say that she was also super insecure, which is normal at that age. Luckily, they didn't have kids together.
Okay.
Okay.
So it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out. Because they were young.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's kind of the vibe I got.
Fair.
So not long after her marriage ended, she had a huge goal of buying a house on her very own. And at the age of 25, she built a beautiful home in South Carolina. It is gorgeous. Oh. Like, it has, like, a front patio and stuff like that. It's so pretty. And she did it at 25, which...
What a badass.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Get it, girl.
On her own. Like...
What does she do?
She just said she worked her ass off.
No, but, like, what was her career, do you know?
Not in... I don't know in South Carolina. Okay. But we'll get to, like, what she did and stuff like that. But she just basically was like, I worked my butt off. And I'm like, yeah, look at your house. It's beautiful.
Wow.
She didn't come from money either.
Okay, so it was all on her own.
Mm-hmm. It was truly on her own.
Good for her.
And you can tell this is, like, a huge accomplishment. Like, you can see pictures of her, like, sitting in front of her house. She's just proud of herself, which she should be. That's
hell yeah,
great. Barely did it at 30. It was during this time that Shanann was just kind of feeling tired all the time. She felt like she had the flu and was losing weight and was losing her hair.
Uh-oh.
She found out she had an autoimmune disease called lupus.
Oh, okay.
And they don't get too much into what lupus is, but autoimmune disease is just basically your cells are attacking your body at all times because they're trying to fight off, like, a illness that doesn't exist.
Isn't that what Selena Gomez has?
Yep.
Okay.
And she had to get a transplant.
Some organ. Was it a kidney?
I think it was a kidney. And the girl that played Adrian on Secret Life of the American Teenager gave her her kidney.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, I watched Secret Life of the American Teenager to, like, hate watch it. It was a show on ABC Family, and I did it to hate watch it because people were like, oh my god, you should watch it. And I did. And it was.
And then it got you.
Kind of, but it was really bad.
What I did with the Kardashians.
But it was still so bad. Some of the lines were just horrible. Like, one girl's having sex and her dad dies in a plane accident, like a plane crash, and she's like, I had sex and it killed my dad. And that's like, oh, that God. Was a big storyline.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then Molly Ringwald was the mom and she was suddenly a lesbian, and it didn't, like,
they tried to make, like, a teenage soap opera. Will you and it please just didn't
hate watch
out.
It? Seriously. Okay. Like, you need to. You're going to be like, what the fuck, Kim? And I'm going to be like, yeah, I know. Anyways, but that went off the rails. Sorry. So she said the thing that helped her get out of the darkness of being diagnosed with lupus was meeting her future husband, Chris Watts. Buckle in. It's going to be a rough one.
I just crossed my eyes and made a weird face.
Yeah, you.
That's what that pause was.
Do you have a headache from how hard you rolled your eyes? So when she talks about the two of them meeting, you can kind of see it in her face that she really does care about him and love him. And the story is that he sent her a friend request on Facebook and she didn't think much of it. She had a million friends and she was like, oh, we're never going to meet. Whatever, I'll add him. And they started chatting. And at that point, she was not looking for anything serious and she tried to reject him. And he would go with her to doctor's appointments, and she just kept pushing him away. She's like, I built up this wall.
Doctor's appointments? Why is he... Then they just barely know each other?
Because of her lupus and stuff. He wanted to be there for her.
It still seems weird.
Yeah, I've never been like, will you
hold my hand at the doctor?
Like, I might get a shot. I'm scared.
What?
But yeah, but that's something she says. Like, he was there for her.
He's like...
But maybe she was getting... I don't know. Injections, she felt
cared for.
Injections, and maybe she couldn't drive.
Sure, whatever.
So, I mean, who knows? But she was like, he just kept being there for her, even though she was pushing him away.
He's persistent.
The part that makes this really hard is that at the documentary, you get to see them at their wedding on their wedding day. And it's so beautiful, and it's just like, it's really happy, and like, the brother gets choked up, and he's like, I love you guys so much. Aww. And the mom's just like, I just love you guys. And it's just strange. It's just strange. It seems
so normal.
It's so normal. There's so much love. You can just see it. And yeah.
Okay.
So Chris was able to find a really good job for a company called Anadarko, which is no longer a company in Colorado. It has nothing to do with him. But anyways, I'll get to that later. And they moved to Colorado from one of the Carolinas. They kind of just... interchange south and north, so I don't know which Carolina they came from. and they moved to Frederick, Colorado, which is north of Denver. And it's a really beautiful area. Like, you can see the mountains. They show pictures of them, like, on their back porch, and it's, like, a perfect mountain view.
Okay.
And they ended up having two kids. And Shanann was 15 weeks pregnant with a third, which was to be a little boy who they were going to name Nico. And she worked, okay, so her job was, we're going to be nice and call it direct marketing company called Thrive. I'm saying it. It was an MLM.
Wait, Thrive. Do I know that one?
It's an MLM.
The supplements and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ones, but like Thrive was the one she worked for.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah. But when you do work for like MLMs and stuff like that, you go to a lot of retreats to like meet other people and just connect.
Yeah.
And spend money and not make any. And
it's like, we're like talking about sales techniques and shit. It's like,
okay. Did they pay for your training?
I feel like this could be a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Or an email.
This could have been in an email. So she's going out of town all the time and just working from home on her phone while raising their children. Basically, the important part that you need to take away from that was that she was not home super often. She was at retreats a lot.
Okay. So, and she's also, like, one of the ones that's like in it to like.
Yeah. And she also had a lot of friends. So she's doing stuff with friends as well.
Okay.
So early summer 2018, she took her daughters and they went on a trip to North Carolina for 6 weeks to visit their families, and they spend time with them because, I mean, she worked from her phone, so it wasn't like she needed to be in town. Yeah, and she could do that. So she didn't need to be in the area, but Chris stayed behind, just kind of took care of the house and the dog, and while she was gone for a month and a half. The plan was for Chris to come at the end of July and fly back with them when they came back to Colorado.
Okay.
So, just a note, Chris and Shanann's parents both live in North Carolina, so when they were there, they definitely went by to see Cindy Watts, and Shanann and her got into a really, really heated argument.
Oh!
Because their youngest daughter, Cece, was allergic to... I think it was pecans. It was like some like nut.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy had Rocky Road ice cream. She wasn't informed that this was an allergy. And
how's she supposed to know? Sorry.
I don't know. I agree with you. It's like, how is she supposed to know?
How's she supposed to know?
And Shanann just told her, she's like, are you trying to kill my baby? You want to kill my baby?
Oh, okay. Well, that's an exaggerated reaction.
And she yelled at her and... Shanann was just pissed off, and she told Chris, and she called Chris all pissed off and was basically like, did you tell your dad that your mom tried to kill our daughter? Like, it was so much over the top. Okay. And he was like back in Colorado, and I can understand her being upset.
Sure.
But I don't understand her not explaining to her mom and like getting upset. Like, how the fuck is she supposed to know?
Yeah.
And accidents happen, and Cece was fine. She didn't even have any ice cream. Even... It was just in the house.
Okay, so she just... Okay.
I do want to add this in. Out. I don't know if I put this in my notes, and if I did, I'm going to just repeat myself. But Cindy didn't come to Chris and Shanann's wedding.
Oh, why?
She didn't really like Shanann. She thought she was... And in the words of her friend, she was bossy. And she's like, Shanann was bossy. And you can see in the video she's bossy, but yeah, she didn't... They didn't really like her, so.
Yeah, women can't be bossy, but men can be take charge.
Yeah, it's called being a manager, but when you're bossy as a woman, it's called being toxic. It's fine.
It's stupid.
So, using her phone records, they realized that Shanann and Chris were not communicating like a couple who shared children together while she was away. He was not answering FaceTime calls, and she was pregnant, so you think you would kind of care to check on
her. Well, and she's like hanging out with his family and
and her emotions like... Well, she didn't go back to see his family after the ice cream incident, which,
well, but sure, like she kicked her out of the house too.
His mom was like, get the fuck out, you're acting crazy.
Like, don't you think you'd be like, hey, how's it going, how's everything, how are my kids, how are you doing?
Keith went on that trip with you guys and he didn't message me. He texted me twice the entire time he was gone.
What trip?
The one when you guys went to DC.
Oh,
that, I almost fought him in the streets. I was like, what the fuck? And he doesn't do that anymore because I was like, it's fine.
But like, that's different.
And then I went to a room
these
where
these people are married. Like, they should be communicating.
Often. What was really funny is I went to one of those Wreck-It rooms. I just happened to be invited.
Oh, I want to go to one of those.
Oh, yeah. I was like, this is for Keith not texting me. And I was like smashing shit with a hammer and with like a bat.
Oh, my God. Did you text him and he's like, didn't reply?
Yeah. And I'd call him and he wouldn't answer. Wow.
My brothers.
I almost said that. I almost even told you
that. The best boyfriends that ever lived.
And I got a ring, so we're good.
You're training him.
He didn't do that again. I think he was just like caught up in it. And I was like, hey, guess what? When you leave, like, you fucking need to talk to me.
Hi, hello. We're in a relationship.
Yeah. I'm watching your dog. Okay. I'm just kidding. I love Ruger so much. But like, it's just kind of that. And like, you know, but they're married. They've been together for a long time.
They've been together for a long time. And she's they have like, children together.
She's like, I'm fucking pregnant. Our kids. And I'm sure her emotions were also heightened. Sure. Which they should have. Like, she would be, even if she wasn't pregnant, she had the right to be mad. But like, even being pregnant, that's going to make you even more upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Why are you like ignoring me?
And she just knew something was weird. Something was off. She had text messages on her phone talking to her friends about how he isn't calling her and wondering if there was somebody else that was involved.
Uh-oh.
Which, valid concern. So, it was also no secret that Chris was super into fitness, and he was way more physically fit at that point in time than he was years ago. And, you know, it's kind of weird. Why is he getting so physically fit when, like, what's the purpose? He's not having sex with his wife.
Oh, they weren't boning?
Well, she was trying to, and he was like, no.
Oh.
Do you see that red flag up there?
Yeah.
Wave it. But she would, like, try to initiate it, and he'd, like, turn her down. And it was actually really upsetting her.
That's hurtful.
Yeah, that is hurtful. And I don't think she's insane for wondering that at all.
No.
And her friend's like, no, totally not. And it's like, mm.
Mm.
So. Mm. Mm. All right. So let's get down to what happened. I just gave you a lot of background of, like, where things were.
Yeah, like who they are and everything.
So August 13th, Nicole Atkinson, who was a very close friend of Shanann Watts, dropped her off at her house after a conference in Arizona at 2 in the morning.
Okay.
And in the video, you can see that she arrives at her house, and you see her friend waits till she gets inside, and she drives away.
Girl code.
Yeah, and at that point, the video kind of ends in the documentary. Sure. And yeah, you just see she enters home, and she's also 15 weeks pregnant, so she's not... It's her third, so she was showing a little bit more mm-hmm. than she would, like, for the first time.
Yeah.
And she has an appointment for an ultrasound at 9 in the morning. And Chris is at work, so she's going to this appointment on her own. And her friend, Nicole, messages her at, like, 8:55. Like, let me know how the appointment goes.
Sure.
And I just want to add in, too, not hearing from Shanann was weird. Her phone was, like, glued to her hand.
Yeah, because she works off of her phone.
Like, so me,
she literally always has it in her hand.
Yeah, like me, if you didn't hear from me for an hour, you'd be like, okay. But yeah, if you didn't hear from me all day, I feel like you'd probably be like, hey,
hello,
the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
So at 9:21, and she also works from her phone too, so she needs to be,
yeah,
like on it. So at 9:21, Nicole's like, I hope your appointment went well, and she doesn't get a response from her friend, and this is not normal. And she always hears from her. And at 10 a.m., her friend Nicole messages again saying, hey, getting concerned, let me know you're okay. And then around like 11:20, 11:30, just somewhere in that time difference, she sends a message to her and says, hey, I'm concerned about you. I'm coming by the house.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a good friend.
That is a good friend.
Yeah. Well, I feel like right now I would definitely be like, I'm driving by. I know where you live. I know where you
were. We're also like, I don't know. I feel like we don't text like where it's like an immediate response.
You know? Well, if I didn't hear from you.
But if I didn't hear from you like days or something, I'd be like.
Yeah, I would drive by 100%.
Checking on you.
Yeah. And I'd probably also like be messaging Steven too.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Hey, I'm a little hurt. What's going on with Danae? And he's like, Danae's just ignoring you. I'm like, okay, we have a podcast together. Danae's Are we not doing it anymore?
Yeah. No. That would not happen.
She is out on my top 8. Any
How dare you?
So anyone would be lucky to have a friend like Nicole, because Nicole gets to her house and she immediately calls the police because, like, it's just something, her spidey sense, it's a vibe. Yeah. Is what I get. Her intuition is like. She doesn't really say why she does it, but you can just kind of see, like, I just get the feeling it's like, she's just, it's a vibe.
Okay.
And.
Well, and it's better to be safe than sorry, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely. And Shanann's not answering her phone. And she looks in the garage because they have windows and her car's in the garage. So she's like, that's like
home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Supposedly.
So I guess she talks to Chris and Chris says that she's hanging out at a girlfriend's house.
Who?
And he doesn't know. He just says she was hanging out with a girl at a girlfriend's house. And she's like, she had an ultrasound at 9, dummy.
Yeah. Like, you don't even know.
Yeah. That's weird. And, she ends up, Nicole ends up calling, because Chris is at a oil field that's far away. So she calls Shanann's mom. So obviously they're close friends. And she's like, how can I get into this house? And her mom's trying to figure out the code. And she's like, Nicole, I give you consent to get into my daughter's house, which I think like our parents would be the same way.
Sure.
But the police officer comes and he's like, we're going to wait for Chris. And it's his house too. So I kind of get that. And but she does give her the code to enter the house and she doesn't get to because the cop's like, no, we need to wait for Chris because this is like his house. But
so they make him like leave work.
They call him because they're concerned. So he comes.
OK, at least he came.
And on the doorbell footage, you can see that Chris comes home, parks, and he immediately gets out of the car and he runs and shakes the officer's hand. He enters the house through the garage and then he runs around to the front and lets everyone in. And the police ask if they can come in. He lets them in. They look around. And oh my God.
This is the footage where he's acting super fucking sketch, right?
Not yet, but.
Okay.
I'll tell you which one.
Because I thought they like let him in and he was all like fidgety and like.
He was fidgety in all the videos.
Oh, okay.
But there he gets weirder in some parts.
Good.
So he's like, oh no. Shanann left her wedding ring. Oh my God, in her phone.
What?
Yeah, he's like, she put
he's
her.
Like
acting, he like comes out like holding the wedding ring with like his hand on his head. She's like, he's like, her wedding ring is on the bedside table.
Okay.
And I'm like, what were you trying to get out of that?
Like, oh no.
And he acts really sad about it. And oh my God. Also find her phone, which he says is her lifeline, and they turn it on. Why is it off?
Ooh.
And she's getting so many text messages of people like, where are you? What's going on? Granted, we do have footage that she came home at 2 a.m. So it's safe to assume she was fine up until that point.
So he's trying to paint the narrative that maybe she like hurt herself or something.
I don't think he knows what he's painting it as because it's all over the place. Because
he's a horrible actor.
So Chris sticks to a story that she was going to a friend's house, forgetting that she had told people she had an ultrasound scheduled.
What?
Police question him because time is of the essence.
Hello.
And one of the neighbors on that day tells the cops that he has footage of the front of the Watts house.
Ooh.
And in the footage, you can kind of see the side of the garage. And in this video, you just see Chris backing his car up into the garage. But it's, like, still hangout. It's, like, half of the back of the cars in the garage.
Sketch.
And this is around 5 a.m. And that's typically when he, like, leaves work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris dives into the story about how people have been breaking into homes and stealing tools. He's like, oh, yeah, I backed it in because I don't remember if he was saying he's bringing his tools in or he's bringing his tools out. He's like, because people are... breaking into house and stealing tools, so he's moving his tools in or out of the truck. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't really matter because
you're gonna close the garage anyway, so like what does it fucking matter which way you're parked?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Okay.
And in the video you see Chris put his hands behind his head like this. He's standing and you just see him doing this when he's watching it.
Uh-oh.
And you can tell he's trying to look like he's relaxed, but this is like
not.
This is a position of trying to protect yourself. Huh. So, like, and he looks nervous. And you can just tell it's stress. And the video doesn't really tell you much. But, you see the truck back into the garage and that's all you see.
Okay.
So something kind of creepy, a side note of, is when the neighbor, this is just a side note and it's okay. always kind of creeped me out. The neighbor stops the video and all of a sudden you see a baby inside in gestation in a woman's stomach. It's just a like weird background video. And then and next thing you know, you see a skeleton appear. I'll have to show you the video.
What?
So in the video where Chris is watching the video, the neighbor turns it off. Like, yep, that was the video. That's what I caught. And Chris is like, okay. And then on the screen of the person's, you can tell it's like a screensaver and it's like a baby in the stomach. And Chris is like, oh yeah, she's also pregnant. And then all of a sudden it's a skeleton and you see Chris turn around quickly and look at the cops.
What the fuck? That's weird.
Yeah.
That's like a sign from God.
That's what I said. And I also
That's
never...
That's like an omen.
Yeah. And I always like thought that was really strange. Oh, weird. Because it reminds him. And then all of a sudden the... That...
And then he gets all clammed up because he knows what he did.
Yeah. And it's like kind of, like you said, a sign from God.
That's so creepy.
So...
What a weird screensaver too.
They... He starts really weird, but I think it's like, yeah. Anyways, so Chris starts walking out of the house and then he turns around and the cop's like, oh, I'll talk to you in a minute. Like, sure. I want to get his information. Chris walks out, he turns the corner and the neighbor's like, he's not acting right.
Okay. That's the one I've seen. And yeah. He's like, this is not
normal. He's like, this guy doesn't talk ever. And he's like talking a whole
Yeah.
shit ton.
Well, and he's filling the space, right? Like, he's, like, filling the silence because he's nervous.
And the cop does make good. He's like, well, his wife is missing, so, like, he's probably not acting right because he's really stressed out. And the neighbor's like, which,
sure.
Yeah.
But also, like...
I mean, they don't know at that point. So, you gotta realize he's like, yeah, I mean, you're right. But he's just like, this guy never says anything. So, he's saying a whole lot now.
Oh, my God.
So... The next day, there are news crews all over the neighborhood talking about the pregnant woman that had disappeared. People are passing out posters. And I don't know if you remember this, but I remember on my Facebook, there were all these missing posters for her. Like, yeah. If you've seen this woman, do you remember that?
But I can see her face. Like, yeah. I can picture her face.
Yeah, I remember. They're like, if you've seen this woman, please let the Colorado police know. And I say that because we're from Colorado, so we see more of that stuff. And there's a woman missing. Cops are going door to door. And I need you to remember this for later, what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
And this is just a side fact. But they asked one lady if they had seen anything, and one lady had said that there was a truck. And she laughed and said, don't ask me the make and model. I don't know. And she's like, but there's like, it was like a small gray truck. She's like, and the dad, Chris, drives a big gray truck.
Okay.
But she's like, but there was just a truck that was kind of out of place.
Sure.
But she doesn't know like the make and model.
Okay.
So she was like, it was like the same color. It was just a smaller truck, which is kind of helpful. And the news crews ask Chris to talk about Shanann. And what he would say to her if she were listening and the news reports and he's like, I want her back. I want the girls here. This is the video.
Yeah.
That good. Because he's smiling.
It gives me.
He's like, creeps. I want him back. Yeah, and it's like, why are you smiling? And he talks past tense.
Yeah.
He doesn't refer to Cece and Bella as Cece and Bella. He refers to them as the girls, not my girls.
He's distancing Shanann himself.
Was past tense.
Yeah.
And that's something that people pay attention to.
Yeah.
And the cops are just, it gives you the creeps. And maybe it wouldn't have given me the creeps if I didn't know what happened. I can't say, like, I would definitely be like, he's guilty. I mean, we know.
But why are you smiling, sir?
Why are you smiling?
Your Anyways. Family is missing.
Yeah. And he goes to the station. They ask him to do a polygraph test. And the lady says, you're like consenting to this polygraph. She's like, it'd be really dumb if you knew something and you did this polygraph. And he's like, I know. So he fails the polygraph test and
a surprise to no one, but also
you can't use that as evidence, but it helps the cops build up their case. So fun fact, if you're asked to do a polygraph, I wouldn't do one.
But also, like, some people are so, like, I don't want to say, like, psychos or, like, I don't want to, like, misdiagnose people, but, like, Some people are such good liars that they've convinced themselves.
It's, yeah.
And they can control, like, how their body reacts to questions.
It's not even sociopaths or narcissists or psychopaths. It's just people some that people
can be good at it.
Because they think they're so convincing that they almost convince themselves.
Yeah.
And...
Okay, well, he wasn't one of them, though. He failed.
Yeah.
Good. Lying liar.
August 15th, in walks Nicole Kessinger, the person Chris was having an affair with. Shanann was right.
Women's intuition is never wrong.
And just saying, Shanann knew her shit, and the entire 6 weeks she was gone before Chris joined them, he was sleeping with Nicole like every night.
Dude.
And sneaking her into the house just because, like, they had a ring.
Get a divorce, you dick.
And they were going on dates. They even went on a trip to the sand dunes.
They went on a trip?
Yeah, to the sand dunes.
So that's why he's not even calling her.
Yeah.
Asking how her trip is going because he's busy canoodling.
And we were going to go to the...
What a douche. God, I hate this guy.
Right? And the sand dunes are not close. Like, from our home, they're like 3 hours away.
And from Frederick, like...
Yeah, they're south. They're south. So, yeah. Like, it's not close. Opposite ends of the state. So, Nicole knew that he was married, but he told her that he was going through a separation with his wife. Because that's what people do when they're wanting to have an affair. And, she decides to go talk to the cops because she says she's concerned about his family. I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah. Well,
I'll get into her. I mean, I'll get more into her. There's a lot of Nicole's in the story. She got
the ball rolling, I guess.
So they have a bunch of pictures together. So why the fuck are you taking pictures too? Like, they have lots of pictures of them just, like, kissing and stuff.
It's just, like, so cringe.
And he's, like, there's a video of her, like, snowboarding down in the sand dunes. He's like, God, you're so sexy.
Ugh.
And this... What I'm about to say is doesn't even matter, and it's stupid I'm even saying it, but Shanann was cuter than her, too. It doesn't matter, but I'm just like, ugh. Anyways. But Chris has no idea that Nicole has talked to the police.
Mm.
And the police have what she's told them in her back pocket. And they tell Chris after the polygraph that he needs to let whatever he's holding in out because... That'll make him feel better.
Sure.
I mean, I would lie like that, too.
Yeah, you gotta get them to tell you what you want them to tell you.
And at one point, after she's like, the lady detective is like, just let out whatever's holding you back. And she says, did Shanann do something to the kids? And Chris was like, can I talk to my dad? I need to talk to my dad. Because his parents came to town because they're like, what the fuck? Talks to his dad, and he was like, she hurt the girls and I had to kill her.
Dude,
light bulb moment.
He's light bulb moment. Yeah, that's it.
And also, dumbass, all your conversations are recorded. When you go in, when you go into an interrogation room, everything you say is recorded. They leave the room a lot of the time as a tactic to get you. They're not doing anything. Sometimes they're going into the other side and just watching you.
Yeah.
They leave because some people like start acting weird. Like Jodi Arias, fun fact, she started like...
Wasn't she doing like handstands?
Yeah, she was doing handstands. Shit? And they were like, what the fuck?
What are you doing?
Yeah, so... But he killed Shanann because she killed the girls and he went into a blackout rage and killed her. And his dad says, shit. Well, then you need to tell the investigators. They need to know this. And they call him in and he tells them, the investigators immediately, that what happened. And the investigators are like, right. Yeah.
You're so full of shit.
And then the lady investigator, I love her. She's like, okay, so you want us to let the world know that Shanann killed her daughters and then you killed her in a blackout rage. You want that to go to the world. Like, you want the world to know that. Because she knows he's full of shit. Yeah. And he was like,
yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what you want to know.
Oh my God. Okay.
At least he doesn't do that.
At least he had the decency to do that.
So he's like, I'll tell you what really happened. But keep in mind, the story has changed.
I'm sure.
So I in this documentary, I just went off like the interview with him. So I'm just telling you, and I just trigger warning, it is completely fucked up. And I'm leaving some of the really bad details out.
Because it's and really
keep
sad.
In mind, what I'm about to tell you is fucked up. I'm leaving some details out.
Yeah, because it's a bit much.
So August 13th, Shanann comes home from her work trip. She comes home and sleeps with Chris. And right after they finish, he confessed that he wanted to get a divorce. He wasn't attracted to her anymore.
So he slept with her first? God, I really just can't with this man.
So, but that's one of the stories. But the other story is that he strangled the girls before Shanann got home.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And he thought he had strangled them to death, and he didn't. And the girls came out with black eyes. And he strangled Shanann right away. Like I said, the story's changed so much, so I'm just going off of, like, what happened. And the girls come into the room, and he's like, oh, my God, they're still alive. And they're like, what's wrong with mommy?
Oh,
and he tells them that mommy's not feeling super great, and he wraps her up in the bed sheet, and he puts the girls in the car, in their car seats. And that's when you see him back up to the garage, as he's putting Shanann in the car, and he's putting the girls in the car.
So he can put a body in there.
Yeah. And he puts Shanann at the girls' feet. They're still alive. Yep. And they drive an hour away, and they're just like, where are we going, Daddy? What's wrong with mommy? Like, sickening. It's sickening really... that they're just like, they don't know what happened. Ugh. It gets worse. So I think you know what happens. But they go to his work site, which is about an hour away, and he digs a shallow grave and puts Shanann in the grave. And the girls are just sitting in the car seats while he does this. He also works at an oil tank site. So he, there's like an oil tank out there.
Yeah.
So he strangles his youngest daughter, Cece, throws her in the oil tank.
How old was she again?
Like 2 or 3.
I just like
can't. His own children. And then Bella is the older sister, and she says, no, Daddy, no. And he strangles her, throws her in the fucking oil tank.
Ugh. It's just so, like...
It's so beyond. And I'm leaving out some more details that are... Like, that's already fucked up enough. Yeah. I'm leaving out some of the stuff. If you really want to know, go for it. Look it up, but it's bad. And these are his... babies. These are his children, and he just throws them in an oil tank like they're nothing. And if that's not a monster, I don't know what the fuck a monster is. This is never something you'll understand. This is just beyond. So after this gut-wrenching confession, wow, that's hard to say, he's arrested, fingerprinted, and they go to the house and they collect the dog, and the house pretty much goes on the market right away. And it was like, I mean, because they were about to lose the house anyway. And Chris is sentenced to life in prison, and Shanann's mom said that he took her daughter's life and he took her grandbaby's lives, but she doesn't think she's right in taking his life. Like, classy that she says that. She's like, you took that, but I don't think I have the right to say. So basically, she didn't want him to get the death penalty because that was on the table. But I do appreciate that they asked the family what they wanted, and they were like, no, he can sit and think about it, which I think is much worse.
Yeah. You rot in hell.
Yeah. So that's a story for the most part. But something I want to point out, and these are alleged, so none of this is like, but these are things that have come up a lot. I said I was going to get to Nicole Kessinger, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she drove a truck.
A smaller gray truck.
Mm-hmm. And it said that night her phone signal was bouncing off the tower closest to Chris's house.
Right.
Not at the one that her phone would have bounced off at her place.
So they think she's involved.
She is in witness protection.
Really?
Why is she in witness protection if she's so innocent? Right?
Well, I don't think they put you in witness protection if you're guilty.
She wanted immunity too.
Oh.
In the case. And they went through her internet records and they found out that she had actually met Chris a year earlier than she said. And right after she met Chris, she went to Shanann's page on Facebook all the time.
Oh, God.
And if you went to her page, all she did was talk about how amazing Chris was and how in love with Chris she is.
Sure.
And it's just something I kind of want to bring up is that it's believed that she probably was there that night to help Chris carry out this. But again, it's alleged.
It's just so horrible.
But Chris is like,
poor babies.
Yeah. But Chris talks about her like, he's like, I'd like to talk to her sometime again. And it's like, no. Oh my God. So, and he likes to leave breadcrumbs and tell cops a little bit more about like what's happened. That's why the story's changed. Yeah. He's like, I can give you more details.
He's literally the worst.
Like, the worst. And
what kind of human? What kind of
refer
dad?
To episode 50. You know the story now. If you hadn't heard the story, maybe you live under a rock. But this is go to episode 50. Women are saying I can change him.
Dude, no.
I'm tying that in because what the fuck? You know what the story said. And now that you know the story on a like different level. Anyways, but he just kind of he wanted to move because people in Colorado knew too much information. So he actually transferred himself to a prison in the Midwest because he wasn't able to be in general population.
Because people would have fucked him up.
Well, it's like child predators. Yeah. And like if you kill your own children and like violence against women and children, you're in that is like
kind of like a spotlight on you.
Yeah. So he shouldn't be safe, but whatever. And so I was talking to someone. I'm not going to say who it was, but it was somebody that actually worked with people that worked with Chris Watts.
Oh.
And I was like talking to them and they were like, oh, I'll give you some information because they asked about the information. And apparently him and Shanann had already filed for bankruptcy. So they were about to go through a second bankruptcy.
Oh.
And he was about to get fired from his job at Anadarko. They tried to say he was a manager. He was just a literally guy that just watched the oil. Like, he didn't have this prominent position.
Oh.
I don't know what it was called, like an oil luber or something like that. It was something like... But he was about to lose his job. And basically, like, nobody liked him. Everyone said that he was so self-obsessed with himself. They would ask him about the oil and he'd be like, yeah. So anyways, my workout routine is this. And they're like, nobody gives a shit, Chris. But
creatine and core.
But I was like, I love hearing the story that everyone fucking hated him because he was a fucking weirdo and he was so like full of himself.
Ugh.
But that was like somebody told me and I was like, ooh, let me take notes. And they were like, are you seriously taking notes? I was like, yeah, episode 80, bitch.
Yeah, that one, it just, like, makes me sad. Like, I was, like, tearing up.
I know, I was like, girls. Oh.
Because it's just, like, how could you do that to, like, little
your children. Kids? Your children.
Like, and I don't know, I'm probably just hormonal because I'm about to, like, have a baby. But, like.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's why this case is just, it's just interesting.
It's just so sad.
It's so sad. It's so fucked up. It's just. Like there were no signs. There was not, like, abuse. Because, like, if there's abuse, I can understand it. Oh, my God, I love you so much.
Where it's, like, ramping up. But, like, it's, like, I don't know. Like, how selfish to be, like, I'm just going to take out my family.
Yeah.
So I can live my life.
But and with, like, my new girlfriend.
It's just so sad. Like,
well, it's just, like, because a lot of the stories we hear about family annihilators is that they're abusive. And you just hear about the abuse, and it finally goes to... And that's why this case surprises me, because in all the videos, he just seems so normal. He just seems like a dad. He, like, plays with the girls. And that's why I think this case is so interesting, is because there was no escalation.
Yeah, it's just, like...
It didn't escalate. It went to... It went to the escalation point with none.
A point in time where he just made a really impulsive decision. Like, I can't, like...
As much as I'd like to say yes, yeah, it was an impulsive decision, he had been giving Shanann pills to get rid of Nico.
Oh my god.
And he admitted that he was giving her, he didn't want a third kid.
That's so horrible.
So as much as I'd like to say it was, it was not, I don't think it was.
Get a fucking divorce. Like, I just don't, like, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, how can someone be so horrible?
Yeah, so this is why that case just gets me. It's because it's like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it just like kills me every time I hear it. I'm just like, it's so awful.
I just don't understand why. I don't know. And I'm glad I don't understand why. I don't want to even be like, well, I can see why you do that. Like, I'm glad I don't get it. Yeah. But yeah, this case, like, it's just scary because nobody saw this coming.
Right.
Nobody could have seen this coming.
I don't know. I think people just get so, like, it doesn't need to be that dramatic. Just get a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, just get a divorce.
You'll be fine. It'll suck.
It'll suck.
It'll suck a lot. But at guess least, what?
Like, you know, your children can live and you can go be happy elsewhere if that's what you want. Like, yeah. I just don't.
You owe it to your partner to let them be happy, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll post pictures. Shanann and the girls were absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
And guys, stop writing Chris Watts. Don't write him.
God, like, I can't believe write to him. That's so embarrassing.
Because it's like, you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, what an asshole. And then you hear the story again, you're like, oh yeah, he's the fucking worst.
Like, he is the devil.
Yeah. So we'll post pictures on our Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
And if you have a story that you want us to cover, you can email us directly at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Or you can talk about how much you fucking hate Chris Watts, because, like,
yeah, or if
samesies.
You want to tell us, like, a happy story.
Yeah. Danae needs happy stories. I wrote her down, but I did warn you.
Yeah, no, I knew it was
that's the only
coming.
Time I told you. I gave Danae a fair warning because I was like, oh no. But I think it's important. It's something we talk about, is like, we know divorce sucks, but get, like, it if it's just necessary. Do it.
Yeah.
But also, we're on, oh, sorry, I forgot to add in, we're on Facebook and TikTok.
So, oh yeah.
Catch us there too. But yeah, we just hope you take care of yourselves.
Yeah, until next time, self-care yourself.
Self-care yourself.
Go eat some ice cream or something.
Go hug a puppy and grab your stuffed animal. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.